2 Samuel 22, verses 1 through 20, these are God's words. Then David spoke to Yahweh the words of this song on the day when Yahweh had delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, Yahweh is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, the God of my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence. I will call upon Yahweh, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. When the waves of death surrounded me, the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon Yahweh and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple. My cry entered his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of heaven quaked and were shaken because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down with darkness under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and flew. And he was seen upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness canopies round him, dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. From the brightness before him, coals of fire were kindled. Yahweh thundered from heaven. And the Most High uttered his voice. He sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning bolts, and he vanquished them. Then the channels of the sea were seen. The foundations of the world were uncovered at the rebuke of Yahweh, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but Yahweh was my support. He also brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. This psalm comes at the end of the Samuel material, 1 and 2 Samuel. And it says that it was something that David wrote on the day when Yahweh had delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. The implication seems to be that David had many opportunities for writing parts of this psalm. Perhaps he wrote the whole thing, the first on some original great deliverance, and that it became a tradition for him every time he was subsequently delivered from another enemy, he got to sing this psalm again. Or perhaps it was written a little bit at a time, and towards the end of his life it had reached its final form by the help of the Holy Spirit. And David recorded it, and it was included in the Psalter. Whoever from the school of Samuel finished writing 2 Samuel recorded it also here in 2 Samuel 22. Anyway, it is a psalm of how God delivers us as if we were perfectly righteous, and that the great part of this deliverance is deliverance from sin, in which he makes us not just strong for our enemies, but makes us to walk in the way of righteousness, so that what he does for us according to his promise and according to Jesus' salvation matches what he does in us according to his promise and according to Jesus' salvation. So he both saves us from every trouble, which we don't deserve, but Jesus deserves it for us. But what Jesus also deserves for everyone whom he is saving is that we would be made holy and righteous. And so the justness of God is seen in the fact that his deliverances of us and his supporting us and sustaining us and helping us in the middle of our troubles matches the godliness that he works in us. And a believer, when he is crying out to God, he cries out for both of those things. Those aren't in competition. It's not wrong for you, when you're in trouble, to cry out to God, save me from my trouble. What is wrong is for you not also to cry out, save me from sinning in the midst of my trouble, and deal with me according to the righteousness that you work in me, or that you help me walk in. So those are the dynamics of the psalm as a whole. The opening section focuses on the greatness of God, the greatness of David's trouble, and the greatness of God's answer when David cries out in his trouble. The greatness of God, you see him pile up the language with what God has been to him, whom God has made himself to be to his servant. Yahweh is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, God of my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold, my refuge, my Savior. He is the one who saves me from violence. He is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. So, because the Lord is worthy of praise for these 10 other things, I will be delivered from my enemies, so that he can get the tenfold, or really infinite, praise that he is worthy of. Remember, God, who is saving you, has invested himself in the honor of his name, and his being praised forever and ever. Even if you end up loving not your life even unto death, yet you will be in the company of those who overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony. And since God's plan is for the redeemed to praise him forever and ever and ever, you know that he will be those 10 things to you, and he will deliver you. It shall all turn out for your ultimate deliverance, as we will all agree it has done on the last day in the new heavens and the new earth, with perfected souls and resurrected bodies. So the fact that we have been saved in order to praise him forever and ever makes it certain that we will be delivered. So that's the first part of the passage here, the greatness of our God. The second part is the greatness of the trouble that David finds himself in. Note, the greatness of our God does not mean that we will never have trouble, or that we will only have a few, or that they will be light. There's nothing could be more opposite what's going on. When the waves of death surrounded me, there's crashing waves, but they're not just coming from one direction. They're closing in from all directions in a military maneuver where he's being encircled like a noose. So you've got waves, and the waves are made out of death, and the death waves are closing in like a noose. It is a very vivid image, isn't it? He's piling it up. If a beginning, a third grader had their first poetry assignment and they wrote this, their teacher might say, well, that's a bit much. Well, the teacher, the third grader, is not describing the troubles of the godly in this life. And David is being carried along by the Holy Spirit. And if you expect that you will have an easy, trouble-free life, then you maybe need to take into account that God has given you this psalm to pray and to sing. When the waves of death surrounded me, the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. Okay, so now you got battles of the three armies. Okay, there's the waves of death, there's the floods of ungodliness. Right behind the waves of death, there are the sorrows of the grave. So the sorrows of the grave are assuming that the death waves are going to accomplish their mission. And what comes death? The grave. What comes after death? The grave, or Sheol. So the sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. Now death has closed all the way in, and the trigger where you step and it whoosh, snaps and gets you. Is right there on every side. It's arrived. In my distress, I called upon Yahweh. Now, one of our favorite passages, hopefully for you, one of my favorite passages for sure, Romans chapter 8, talks about all the different things that can never separate you from the love of God. Well, none of those things can separate you either from the ear of God. Even if you had no tongue, you cry out to him from your heart, and it goes up to his ear, as it were. He hears. He doesn't have actual physical ears. He gave us ears so that we could understand the intensity with which he inclines himself towards the cries of his people. So we have ears, and we can turn our heads, and we can bend our bodies. And with those physical things that he gave us, he enables us to appreciate a little hint of how ready the Lord is to listen to the prayer that comes to him in Jesus Christ, his Son. Okay, so the greatness of God, the greatness of the distress, and then the greatness of God's response. And the bulk of the passage is actually the greatness of God's response. There is this wicked, unbelieving thought that we may sometimes have. I hope you don't have it, but knowing that you are my children, it is quite possible that you, like I, have had this feeling like your troubles are too intense, and if only someone would just notice how great your troubles are. Well, David's troubles are great, and they are intense, and there's no minimizing that here, except by comparison to the intensity of God's response. So whenever you start to feel like your situation is too intense, or if only someone could notice how great your troubles are, perhaps what you need is for the Holy Spirit to help you notice how great God's response is. Now, in this section, David weaves together things that happened during the flood, things that happened at Mount Sinai, things that happened in the parting of the Red Sea, things that happened in the wilderness, things that happened in the plagues of Egypt, things that happened during the conquest of the land. And so you have earthquakes and heaven and earth shaking in verse 8. And you have smoke and fire from God himself in verse 9. And, you know, the people who had seen it all, and then there they were at the base of the mountain of Sinai, and they were terrified. And Moses was terrified, Hebrews reminds us. He bows the heavens and comes down with darkness under his feet. He is seen upon the wings of the wind, makes darkness, canopies around him, darkness, thick clouds. There's brightness before him, and coals of fire are kindled. Reminder of the glory cloud, both in the wilderness and then that had descended upon the tabernacle. The Lord thundering and sending lightning bolts. Reminds us of the storms of the flood. The channels of the sea are seen. The foundations of the world are uncovered. It reminds us of the parting of the Red Sea. The rebuke of the Lord, the blast of the breath of his nostrils. Oh, if we forgot when we were talking about fire, the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. He sent me from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. Picture there of both Noah and the ark, and Moses and the ark. Remember the only other use of that word, ark. And God being the God who saves his people in that way. He delivered me from my strong enemy, those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. The whole Exodus event. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but Yahweh was my support. He brought me out into a broad place. This is both the wilderness and promised land, but especially gathering them to himself in the wilderness. He delivered me because he delighted in me. So David takes all of the most amazing, glorious glimpses that God has given of his glory and how he exercises his glorious power and displays the greatness of his glory and the greatness of his power in saving his people. He takes all of those and he says, that's the God who leaps into action when I pray. Now, in David's own deliverances, they were often by the skin of his teeth. things like Saul hearing that there's trouble somewhere else and leaving right before he's about to capture him, or acting crazy and the Philistine king saying, do I lack madmen? Or the other Philistine general saying, don't bring him along. Things like that. But David knows that when he prayed, it was the God of creation, the God of the flood, the God of Sinai, the God of the Exodus, the God who destroyed Sodom, the God who caused Moses to be drawn up out of the water. There's the same God who is delivering him, and the same love with the same power. And of course, you know that, or ought to know that for yourself. It's one of the reasons why the Holy Spirit gives us this song to sing. Not just because it's something God did for David a few times, or many, many times in his life, but that it's the same God to whom you pray and cry out, and he is exercising the same power and the same love for the same reason. And we have just a hint of that at the end of our passage. We'll have a lot more of it next week, by God's help, Lord willing. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord has delighted in those whom he is saving from before the world began. He's chosen those whom he's going to save in the Beloved, the Lord Jesus. And he makes them righteous with the righteousness of Jesus. If you belong to God through faith in Jesus Christ, it's because he's been delighting in you in his Son. He announces from heaven at Jesus' baptism, at Jesus' transfiguration, this is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. This is my Son. I love him. I'm delighted in him. When God listens to you when you pray, it's because he loves you in his Son. He's adopted you in his Son. He loves you in his Son. He's delighted in you in his Son. The reason you come to him through faith in Jesus Christ and pray is because he has adopted you as his child. He loves you, has adopted you as his child and his Son. He loves you in his Son. He's delighted in you in his Son. And so when you come to God through Jesus Christ, the righteousness and sacrifice of Jesus, in whatever your trouble is, you may know that this Almighty God is exercising this power for your sake. You might not see it on earth, but the Holy Spirit grant you to see it by faith, by remembering his word and all the mighty works of your Lord, and how this psalm teaches you to think of those mighty works when you are crying out to your God. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we do praise you. You are our rock, our stronghold, our refuge, our salvation. All of these things that we have just read and heard about in this passage, we pray that you would help us to not have unreasonable expectations about the easiness of life, but also we pray that you would make us to have reasonable expectations about your greatness as our God. And when we see the troubles becoming intense, make us to remember that your salvation and your defense and your response to our prayer is even more intense in the Lord Jesus, because you have delighted in us for his sake and in him from before the world began. O Lord, help us to bring these gospel truths to bear on our own hearts and our own minds. Grant that your Spirit would bring these gospel truths to bear on our hearts and our minds when we pray to you, that every time we cry out, we would marvel that we are able to cry out to you through Jesus, that nothing can separate us from your love in Christ, and nothing can separate us from your ear in Christ, and grant to us to rejoice even in the midst of trouble, knowing that you are hearing us for his sake and working all things for your glory and for our good. We ask that your Spirit would do this in our hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Amen.